Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. We're so glad you joined us today, and we have an awesome guest today. We have Mike McCown out of our Birmingham, Alabama office. Mike is a founder of PPM Consultants along with me back in 1994. Mike is an amazing expert on just about any topic environmental, great steward, outdoorsman, fantastic family. I could take probably the next 10 minutes and tell you all the great things about Mike, but Mike, first, how you doing today? And you brought us a great topic today, I think. Mike, how are you?
Doing great, Todd. Appreciate the nice, kind words and introduction and all. It's hard to believe we've been doing this since 1994, isn't it?
It is, man. I can remember just not long ago, we were camping out all night on doing some pilot studies and remediation shot systems to make sure these things ran and performed well. And all of a sudden, here we are doing a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Those are some good stories. Sometimes I wonder when we tell those to the younger staff, or they say, oh, this is old man stories, you know?
Yeah, the bad part now is you hear dad jokes. You say something, oh, that's a dad joke. Like, when did that happen? When did jokes become dad jokes? Well, Mike, you brought us a great topic today. What in the world will we be talking about?
Well, dry cleaners, and it's something that's been around a long time. Most everybody probably in our audience has experienced going to the dry cleaners, if it's not for their own clothes, for their wife's clothes or family members' clothes or whatever to get them cleaned. Been around a long time, but there are some environmental issues associated with dry cleaners, and I thought this would be a good topic to discuss on how that can impact the environment, how it can impact a real estate transaction and all when these chemicals used by dry cleaners get released to the soil and the groundwater.
Absolutely. And I think our audience is going to love this. And as we start about it, if you think about dry cleaners in just a total sense, it's an industry that has been on the decline really over the last 20 years, maybe some of it because of environmental regulations. And you'll talk about some of the chemicals that they use. But then as you get into it, as you think about, you know, the COVID pandemic and people working at home, people becoming less formal, more casual. You know, the dry cleaners occupy some really good real estate, good locations, but as these things close down, consolidate, they're not as used and needed as much. That definitely creates some opportunities to pick up a wonderful piece of real estate, but it's buyer beware because there are environmental issues associated with dry cleaner operations.
That's exactly right. And, you know, it's funny, you're talking about the decline in dry cleaner usage, and I'm looking at you on the screen right here, and you got a golf shirt on, as do I. And that's been the movement here lately. But it doesn't mean that these legacy issues don't exist as maybe dry cleaner use declines. They're still out there pumping it out. I still, every 2 weeks, used to be like every 3 days, I still take things to the dry cleaners. But you and I aren't wearing as many starched shirts and suits anymore as we used to, are we?
Yeah, that's right. We're not quite as stuffy and formal as we used to be. I think of us as kinder and smarter.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had mentioned where these things are set up. Of course, most people, you think about, well, I got to drop something off the dry cleaners. They're almost always in high density population areas, very, very big commercial areas, because that's where the traffic and the foot count is going by. People are going to lunch. They drop things off on the way to work. And so that's where these things locate. Most of them are typically located in strip shopping centers. And because of these highly commercialized areas, is extremely valuable real estate. And over the years, what's happened is the chemicals that these dry cleaners use, there's been a lot of changes over the years. I think dry cleaning has been around since maybe as far back as the 1800s with common use in our country. And the chemicals they've used to do the dry cleaning process, which basically replaces water because water gets into the fabric. If you have a very sensitive type fabric, very thin, a delicate type fabric, then the wash in a regular cycle in your home washer can destroy the clothes. And so that's why dry cleaning is the alternative to it. But the evolution of chemicals over the years, it's changed a good bit. And we can get into some of that here in a few minutes. But what would happen is these facilities would, in their process, they would use these chemicals and they would have spent chemicals to get rid of. In the old days, there was no environmental regulations. And so this stuff would just get thrown out back. It'd be spilled on the floor. They would mop their floors. They would clean their equipment. And that spoiled, spent material, a lot of times, would be just thrown out the back door. And it would seep down through the concrete or the gravel or the asphalt, get into the soil, get into the groundwater, and start moving from there, creating lots of different problems. Well, we can get into here in more detail here in a second.
Well, that's right. And you know, you hit the nail on the head. You have to use a solvent to be effective and be pretty quick on making, you know, cleaning a fabric, a suit, a blouse, whatever it might be. And then you have the waste product, because once you use a solvent, over time it becomes spent. And there really weren't regulations or guidance how to dispose of it properly or recycle it. And, you know, I think about it. I was just curious thinking about some of the different solvents used through the years. And I'm looking at a little chart, and gasoline, benzene and gasoline were very prevalent through the mid-1800s through the 1920s. Very effective what they did. And then they discovered PERC, I think, in the 40s, and TCU began to use those. They phased out TCE's use in the United States in the 80s. And then the 90s, as regulations set in to the dry cleaner industry, hey, let's recycle. We were dealing with some dangerous solvents. And some of these solvents, to be effective at cleaning clothes very well, they're heavy chlorinated solvents. And I want you to talk to our audience a little bit about, you know, if you did dump some solvent, a spent solvent, outside, out back of your store, and it were heavy, what happens to it? It enters into the soil.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned, use the term PERC, and for the audience, perchloroethylene is the official name for that. And that came in maybe in the late 30s, early 40s as being the go-to chemical. And it's been the primary chemical used since then, because it is so effective. That little smell you get in your clothes, you get from the dry cleaners, that's a slight PERC smell, most likely, that you pick up there. I mean, what's interesting about PERC is it is a chlorinated hydrocarbon, as you mentioned, and it is heavier than water. And so what it has this tendency to do is travel down vertically. You spill it on the concrete, it can make its way through it. It can make its way through clay pipes. It can make its way through the soil column and into the groundwater. And unlike gasoline and kerosene and diesel and some of these other motor fuel type components that float in the water, perchloroethylene actually goes down to the bottom of the water column and sits at the bottom. It's heavier than water, which makes it extremely difficult to assess and figure out where it's at, and also how to clean the stuff up. The other thing it does too is it creates a vapor hazard. And, you know, most dry cleaners you can go into, it's changed better in the last 10 years because the equipment has changed, is you can pick up vapors in the breathing space in the building. And so when people come in to redevelop a shopping center or a building that had a dry cleaner in it, usually this ends up getting picked up in a phase one environmental site assessment and is a concern about where the impact is, how it's going to devalue the property, who's responsible for it. A lot of times these things have changed hands. We see things where you have the owner, you have somebody's leasing the property. You have an investor out of state that owns the property, you have a lending institution. So there's a lot of people can be implicated in the potential liability associated with this, the diminution of property value and the ability to get financing on it. So it creates a really big problem for the real estate community on these type of properties.
And Mike, you've done an excellent job of kind of laying out what do dry cleaners do that makes them a potential environmental risk. And then as, you know, investors acquire these properties, they want to make sure they're not picking up something that's an environmental liability to them. So you kind of laid out the concern, and these are great, you know, pieces of real estate. So why they're attractive to purchase. So where do you go from there? You know, you're thinking about it. I love this corner. I could put a coffee shop here. I could develop it for some type of retail, I think will do better. How do you start even thinking about, do you have a liability at this location?
You know, first of all, knowing it's there, like I said, it'll get picked up typically doing your environmental due diligence. And most folks, if they're going to proceed on with a deal that has a dry cleaner, they're going to require some type of sampling to be done to see if there's a problem. usually borings are just outside the building footprint, taking some soil samples, putting in some wells, taking some groundwater samples. A lot of times the problems are actually beneath the slab inside the building. So you come inside, and we've been in situations to where we'll break out concrete and run a hand auger in, or in some cases even get a small drill rig inside of a dry cleaner, which are typically very small type facilities, and take some samples too. And then on occasion, you know, take vapor samples to see if there's any kind of problem with solvent impact to the vapor in the breathing space. And of course, from there, so one of the concerns is it sets off potential reporting requirements based on where you're located. State agencies typically want to know if impact's been found. And then that's when the finger pointing comes in. Well, who spilled it? You can have an existing lessee that was not the one who actually spilled it because their processes work a lot better, or it's a closed loop system. And a lot of finger pointing comes into who's actually responsible for the cleanup. You know, and on that, a lot of states to rectify this, it was so common, they created these dry cleaner trust funds. And there's numerous of these around the country. They're ran by the state, and basically allows a dry cleaner to pay into this trust fund, either through a fee on usage or some annual fee they pay. And the problem is, though, is the few dry cleaners that are out there, it's just not enough money going in these funds to make them robust enough to pay for assessment and cleanup costs on these. So a lot of times it ends up being what we call a tar baby. It just kind of sticks to you, and you're not sure what to do with it. There have been people who've gotten very creative on carving out, you know, portions of real estate where it's not a part of the loan, these kinds of things, which can be more difficult on a strip center, of course. But there are creative ways in the financing world and the real estate investment world to work around some of this. But in the end, if there's impact there, it's very difficult to clean up, and at some point has to be dealt with, or the can kick down the road.
And man, you've thrown out a lot of fantastic information. And one piece that I want to amplify a little bit is we talked about, you know there's a potential environmental risk. You're studying it. Now, if you're in a state that's fortunate enough to have some kind of funding mechanism to help assist with cleanup costs, that's good. But as you remarked, a lot of times it's partial help. It's not complete help to go out and address this. A worst case scenario of a dry cleaner, and obviously you talked about how the more populized an area is, the more population lives there, urban areas, the more dry cleaners you tended to have historically, because more people needed those services. But what would be a range, and I don't want to scare our listeners out there, but to you know, address a contaminant plume from a dry cleaner, a perk, it's you know, worked its way down to the bottom of the water column, what kind of numbers potentially could someone be looking at on the extreme worst side?
Maybe let me start with talking about some ranges, you know, to go out and just figure out if there is a problem or not. You're talking in the $10,000 to $20,000 range to do an environmental site assessment and get some samples just to see yes or no, is there a problem or not. And then from there, if there is a problem, coming with more permanent type of monitoring wells to see what's happening over time, to see how far, how wide, how deep it's traveled. You know, that can be another $25,000 to $50,000 typical range, of course, based on how deep it is. You have to drill to get groundwater. And then that's when the real money comes in, is the cleanup. And these things can go easily into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. We've seen some go over $1 million out there, especially on the larger plumes. A lot of those really big cleanups are associated with the more industrial type of cleaners, to where you have your mom and pop storefront that's not actually doing the operation right there. They're taking it to a larger operation somewhere else in town, and this doing industrial scale of it. And these solvents have gotten out, you know, from their facilities over the years, and you get a lot bigger plumes. But it can be, you know, quite expensive to address and clean this up.
Well, and that's right. And, you know, you always hope that the facility, the real estate you're looking at, they had good housekeeping policies, or it was something that was maybe worked through in the last 30 or 40 years. Because as you get historic dry cleaners that had, you know, 50, 70, 100 years of operation, that's where the potential danger comes into. And then the traditional model now, the model now that I see, is you've got storefronts that process your cleaning and, you know, take the dirty clothes and bring back the nice clean clothes. There's a factory off somewhere, centralized cleaning area. And so, you know, that storefront won't be a concern, but where those clothes are cleaned, you know, that's where you really need to think about if you're looking at that real estate. But those tend to be more industrial settings. So that's a really good range. And, you know, Mike, the key thing, if you are looking at a piece of real estate, to our listeners out there, and there's a suspected dry cleaner, or you know there's a dry cleaner there, you know, the first step is to make sure you got a great consultant, a great bank, and a great team to kind of work this through to make sure that you don't acquire a piece of property that all of a sudden surprises you with cleanup costs, environmental risk that you did not anticipate.
And that's exactly right. One other thing I want to add too, Todd, just about the chemical that's really unique about and chlorinated hydrocarbons is all chemicals, they degrade over time. They'll start breaking down into other types of base chemicals. And with perchloroethylene, one of the things that happens is it begins that degradation progress. We end up what we call daughter products. It's the children of the original product there. And the worst of them is one called vinyl chloride. And some of these daughter products, such as vinyl chloride, are much more hazardous than the parent material is. And so you can have a situation where things are getting worse with time rather than better just through natural processes of the chemical breakdown out there. The other thing too is this unique about it is in most places, the waste you generate from this, whether it's coming out of the process itself, or if you're out there drilling and you're taking soil samples, you're removing a material, you're taking groundwater samples, that residual material is actually a listed hazardous waste. So it has to be dealt with in a special way when it comes to getting rid of what you're generating out there from a dry cleaner site. So just a couple other things to, again, not trying to scare everybody off, but just some of the realities of dealing with this that makes it very difficult.
Well, it's always good to know what the risks are and the tools that are used to go into it. And one other tool I wanted to mention as we started to wrap our show up today is in many states now, there's a risk assessment tool that you can use to think through the setting and think through what the risks are to human health and the environment. And as you, if you end up with a dry clean remediation or any type of remediation, those are great tools you'll make sure employed to make sure you right size your cleanup effort. Mike, as we wrap our show up, one last question to you. If I'm listening and I'm a real estate developer, after hearing this podcast, what's the most important thing I need to do if I'm thinking about purchasing a dry cleaner, really purchasing any property where industrial operations occurred?
Yeah, a couple things on that. First of all, of course, is just make sure you do your due diligence, a phase 1, phase 2 environmental site assessment. A lot of times, of course, it's obvious it's a dry cleaner and you already know that's a potential recognized environmental condition. But what we see too in these urban and commercialized areas is lots of historic dry cleaners. Something used to be located across the street, you know, a couple hundred feet away, that can cause massive impact in the area. And a lot of times those get overlooked. So proper due diligence to know what you're getting. Of course, it can be used as a negotiating tool to get the purchase price down and those kinds of things. Go ahead and try to think through the what ifs. You know, I would say the majority of these are going to be have some kind of impact to them. It may be small, maybe much larger. But go ahead and think through all the what if scenarios. If I find impact, what am I going to do with the information? Does it have to be reported to a state agency? Who's going to be responsible for this? You know, all those types of things. Having maybe an environmental attorney involved up front, maybe even doing some of the work under privilege under an environmental attorney can sometimes be a good play too, so you can protect the findings. It, you know, doesn't provide perfect protection if you have a really bad problem out there, but it may can help at least navigate some of those legal complexities associated with it. So that would be the main things. Just a buyer beware. Know what you're getting.
Mike, so well said. So much good information put out there. I know our audience really enjoyed it today. And to our audience, if you'd like to know more or have questions you'd like to ask, log in our website, ppmco.com. Go to contact us. You can reach out to myself or Mike, and we'll be happy to help you with anything you want to know. Mike, as always, it's such a treat to have you on the show. And, man, hope you have a great day. And anything you'd like to say to our audience?
Well, just speaking of dry cleaning, this is my 33rd wedding anniversary today, and I will be wearing a starched shirt from the dry cleaner as I go out to dinner tonight.
And I hope it's a fantastic dinner. Happy anniversary, buddy.
Thanks, Todd.
Happy anniversary.
Good chatting with you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for tuning in. Find us on the your podcast service of source. Like us, recommend us, share us out there. We always appreciate it. Email us those questions and thoughts. Reach out to us. Contact us. Thanks for tuning in. This is Todd Perry, and this is PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.